Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nazir Daf Mem Beis. We begin on the very top line at the two dots. Today we're learning Lili Nishmas and Applebaum. Chana Zalata, Bas Reb Zev. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We'll remind ourselves quickly what we're talking about. Omar Mar always means we're going to repeat what we just learned at the end of yesterday's share. So Omar Mar, the Gemara learned yesterday, the Kulam Shegilchu, we had a Mishnah in the Goyim where we said that if anybody who is a Nazir, a Metzorah, or a Levi, goes and doesn't go and shave with the tar, the Kulam Shegilchu, Shelo B'tar, if they didn't use a tar, or alternatively, if they didn't shave their entire head, O Shishiru Shtei Saros, but they left two or more hairs behind, so Lo Asu V'lo Chlum, they didn't fulfill their obligation, the Nazir, the Metzorah, and the Levim, to go and shave off their hair. They have to do all of it, not most of it, all of it, and they have to do it with a tar. That's what we learned in the Mishnah in the Goyim. So the Gemara now says, Amar Ravacha Brei D'Ravika, Ravacha Brei D'Ravika learns in that Mishnah, he says, Zoso Meretz, we can see from this Mishnah that Rubo Kekulo is a din mid'araisa. That under normal circumstances, if you do the majority of something, so that halachically is considered like you did all of it on a d'araisa level. This concept of Rubo Kekulo, most of it is like all of it, is a din d'araisa. Now how does Ravacha Brei D'Ravika know this? Mimai, where does he get this from? So the Gemara says, look at this Mishnah in the Goyim. It says in regards to a Nazir, the whole pasuk it says by the Nazir, it says, V'gilach rosho b'yom taraso. After he's tame for the 7 days, he becomes tar, he does the hazoya and shlishi and shvi, goes to the mikvah, and he brings his taglachas tuma, and it says, by this Nazir, b'yom hashvi yigalchenu. It says over there as well, after the Gilach Rosho B'yom Taraso, it says B'yom Hashvi'i Galchenu. It says a second time that he has to go and cut his hair. Now, why does it have to say it a second time? So the Gemara answers, Ravacha Barika, Brei D'Ravika says, Hachahu Di'adi'ika Kulo, Ha'ba'alma Rubo Kikulo. From the fact that it reiterates it here, it says V'Gilach Rosho, and it also says B'yom Hashvi'i Galchenu, so it teaches us that it wouldn't be adequate here to have Rubo Kikulo. Here, specifically, by the extra repetition of Bayom Hashvi'i Galchenu, after it already said V'gilach Rosho, so this teaches us that you must cut off all of your hair. But this is the exception to the rule. Every place else, it's Rubo Kekulo. So Rav Acha Berei D'Ravika says this is the source that we can learn out Rubo Kekulo, because over here, you needed a special pasuk to tell us not to apply Rubo Kekulo. By the extra words, by Yom Hashvi'i Galchenu, after you already said, Begilach Rosho, tells me that here you must cut everything off. And that's why, if you left Shtei Sa'aros, if you left two hairs uncut, so then you're not Yotzi, Loso V'lo Klum. Implication being, every place else, it's Rubo Kekulo. So that's Rav Acha, Berei D'Ravika's proof from here that Rubo Kekulo. More questions, this and says, Maskevler Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rav Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, questions this, and he says, wait a second, this pasuk that we just brought down, it's talking by a Nazir who became Tomei. The beginning of the pasuk is, V'chiyomus meisolah v'pesafisom v'time rosh nizro. It's talking about a Nazir who became Tomei. And such a Nazir, after he becomes tar from the Tumah, on day 3 and day 7 he has the Azoya, then he goes to the mikvah, and then on day 7, V'gilach Rosho, B'yom Taraso, B'yom Hashvi'i Galchenu. That's talking about a Nazir was Tameh. So Rav Yossi Baruch Chanina says, how can you learn out this din that a Nazir who's tar has to cut off all of his hair? This pasuk is only high b'Nazir Tameh Ksiv. And therefore, maybe the din is by a Nazir tar that Rubo Kekulo. And not, as we said, that Shtei Saros Lo Asu V'lo Klum. So, Machaku Allah b'marava. They laughed at him in Eretz Yisrael. Now, elsewhere, the Gemara says, interestingly, that when we find the Machaku Allah, it's actually Rav Yossi Baruch Chanina was the one that was laughing, but here they were laughing at him. They mocked his response, and they said, it doesn't make any sense for you to question over here and say, how can you learn out the din by Nazir Tar? The psukim over here, the extra words, where after it says V'gilach Rosho, and then it says B'yom Hashvi'i Galchenu, that's by a Nazir Tameh, so therefore you're asking Rav Yossi Baruch Chanina, how can you go and learn this out to a Nazir Tar? That's not an appropriate concern. Michte, Nazir Tameh, Debitar, Minon. How do we even know that a Nazir who's Tameh has to use a tar? Don't we learn it out, Minazir Tar, Yolif? We learn it out from Nazir Tar. So just like we learn out the din of a Nazir Tameh from a Nazir Tahor, so too, Leis a Nazir Tar, Vilelef a Nazir Tameh. So too, this din, that you have to cut off the entire hair We only know that by the Nazir Tomei, but we go and generalize that to the Nazir Tar. Ma Tomei, the Nazir who's Tomei, ki shayir shtei saros v'lo klum avad, if he doesn't cut off all of his hair with the Tar, and he leaves even two hairs, it's as if he did nothing, v'lo klum avad, so too, hochanami, ki shayir shtei saros by the Nazir who's Tar, and when he does his taglachas tahara, and he leaves two hairs, v'lo klum avad, he did nothing. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Beruchanina, who's saying, how can you question the din of a Nazir Tar from a Nazir Tame, so we laugh at that. They said, no, that's incorrect. Just like we learn Al-Dinim from a Nazir Tame, from a Nazir Tar, that you need to use a Tar, that you have to have the Taglachas with the razor, with the Tar, so too we learn it out, that if you don't do a complete Taglachas, which we learn out for Nazir Tame, so we learn that out to the Nazir Tar, that it has to be a complete Taglachas, and if you lift Shtei Saros, lo asa v'lo klum. So therefore, there is no kasha. Okay, now we have some final kashas when we get to the next Mishnah. We start off with the question of Abaye. Abaye asks, Nazir Shegilach, if a Nazir did his taglachas, but Vishir Shtei Saros, he left behind two hairs. Now, we just said, that's no good. However, Tzomach Rosho, the rest of his hair grows back in, and then, after the rest of his hair has grown back in, V'chazav Gilchon, he went and cut off the two hairs that he'd left behind. So now, how do you look at this? Do we say, listen, bottom line is, mahu, mi ma'akve olo. Ultimately, he cut off all of his hairs, albeit not at the same time. Or do we say, no, all of his hair wasn't cut off at the same time, and therefore it's no good. In other words, what we're saying over here is, he did cut off all of his hair, but not at the same time. So does that count or does not count as a taglachas? If you look at it from one perspective, the guy cut off all of his hairs, albeit in two different times. But all of his hairs were cut off, so maybe that's a good taglachas. He wasn't shear shtei saros. Or do we say no? At any given time, all of his hair wasn't cut off. So even though despite the fact that he ultimately cut off the two hairs that he hadn't previously cut off, right now the rest of the hair has grown back. And therefore, this isn't considered taglachas. That's the question that Abaye has, and we don't give an answer to it. Next question, by Rava. Rava asks the following. What happens if it was a nazir shegilach, v'niach shtei saros? The nazir, again, did the taglachas, but left behind two hairs. And then, before the others all grew back, he went, the gilach achas, he went and cut one of the two remaining hairs, but the noshu achas, and the other one fell out before he cut it. So, mahu, what is the halacha over here? Now, what's the two sides of the coin? So, the Rosh tells us, in Dibra Masku, the gilach echo, the noshu echad, mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say, mi amrinon, kibon de lo gilach elo echad, since right now he only cut off one of the two remaining hairs, the other one was still there before it fell off on its own, that's not considered giluach. Giluach, by definition, is cutting off two hairs. So therefore, lo kiyem mitzvas giluach. The fact that he cut off the one of the two remaining hairs and then the other one fell off, that's not called giluach. And you need to do a taglachas. Or do we say, no, odilma, kivan de bishar shehischil legaleach, at the time that he started to cut off the last of the two hairs, so there was two hairs present, haylo bei saros, so therefore, he started to cut off one, kia mitzvah giluach, with that one, and knew the other one fell off on its own, so therefore, he does accomplish the taglachas. So that's Rava's question. Gemara says, amalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina, Rav Acha midifti questions this, yes, Ravina, what's Rava's question? Gilach sa'ara, sa'ara, komi ba'ile l'Rava? Is Rava asking, do you have to cut them both in a fell swoop? Of course you can cut them one after the other. Nobody's expecting you to shave the entire head in one fell swoop. You're cutting one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And here, of the two remaining hairs that were left, he cut off the first one. What's the problem? The fact that there's no second one there, that certainly is a good taglachas. So Rav Acha midifti says to Ravina, that can't have been Rava's question. So Ravina told him, yeah, Taki, you're right. Ela Ema, you know what the question was that Rava asked? It was the other way around. Not that he first cut off one of the hairs and then it fell off. Ella, there were two hairs left behind. Ema, but now, Noshrachas, one fell out off its, on its own. And then the person went, the Nazir went, Vigilach Achas. He cut off then the one remaining hair of the two remaining hairs that had been there. Mahu, what's the halach over here? Here, the two sides of the coin are as follows. And you can see this in the Rush as well. In Dibra Maskul, Elo Ema Noshu Echod Vigilach Echod Mahu. The Kishaba Ligalayach, now when he's coming to cut off the one remaining hair, there were originally two, but one fell off on its own. So do we say, Lo Yobo Kidei Shir Giluach or not? Now do we say, well, there's only one hair, that's not a valid taglachas. Well, we say, no, there originally were two, so it is still a valid taglachas. So this is the question that Rava was really asking. And Amale, Ravina says to Rav Acha Midifti, Giluach ein kan, Seir ein kan. There is no Giluach because there's only one hair, and therefore you don't have two hairs. Seir ein kan, and therefore this is not a valid Giluach. Where it says, what are you talking about? E Seir ein kan, if there's no hair here, so then the original Giluach was perfectly good. Giluach yesh kan. If you're telling me that the one hair that fell off, now there's no hair there, so then the original Giluach was a good Giluach. It only left one hair. And one hair isn't an invalid taglachas. So Gemara says, no. Hochikomer, this is what Ravina was really saying. Afopi sheseyor ein kan, even though right now, when one of the two remaining hairs fell off, there's no hair that's considered halachically significant there. Nevertheless, the mitzvah Giluach, which requires him having to cut all the hairs, and he's not allowed to leave two hairs. If he leaves two hairs, it's not a good taglachas. So here, what Ravina is explaining is, even though technically there's only one hair left now, but the mitzvah's giluach ain't kan, because you need two hairs to have the mitzvah's giluach. And this hair fell off on its own. So the one remaining hair, you can't do the mitzvah giluach when you only have one hair left. And since there were originally two hairs left, the original taglachas is not considered a good taglachas. So we at least answered this revised version of Rava's question as understood by Ravina. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair in any way, but if he shampoos his hair, chofef, he uses some sort of a cleansing agent, as Tosu says in Dibur Maslu, Nazir chofef umefasfes. So what does that mean? So it's parir belaz, which means shichuf rosho beneser ubadoba. He shampoos his hair, he cleans his hair with various types of neser and adoba, various types of cleaning agents. So if a person does this, chofef umefasfes, he goes and shampoos his hair with these various types of detergents or soaps, beneser ubadoba, so then in this situation, no problem, he's allowed to do so. It's not considered a absolute psik reisha that his hair will come out. There's a possibility it will come out. It's certainly not what he wants. This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that a dover shenu miskaven is not going to be usur, and therefore it's not a psik reisha. It's not definitely coming out. It might, but if it does, he doesn't want it. And since it's not a psik reisha, a person is allowed to go and be chofef umefasfes. You can go, and Nazir can go shampoo, even though there's a possibility that some of the hair might come out, but since he doesn't want it to come out, and it's not a guarantee that it will come out, it's not a psik reisha, and it's something he certainly doesn't want, it's a dover she'eino miskaven, so therefore, the Tana of a Mishnah says, it is permissible. Nazir chofef umefasfes. However, avolo sorek, but he's not allowed to go and comb his hair. Now, what is happening over here, the Gemara will explain, that by combing your hair, it's a psik reisha. That's the way the Rush understands it, that it's a psik reisha. The hair will definitely come out. And even though it may be a dover she'eino miskaven, so then even Rabbi Shimon says by a psik reisha that you're not allowed to go and do it. Now let's see inside the Gemara that will explain this. So the Gemara starts off and says, chofef v'fasfes, the Tana of our Mishnah permits you to go and shampoo your hair. So who is that in accord with? Mani, that seems to be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He, as I mentioned, Omar dover she'eino miskaven is mutter. Rabbi Shimon is a famous sheet in Shas. He argues with Rabbi Yehuda, more in Shabbos and in other places. Rabbi Shimon holds a dover she'eino miskaven. If you have no intention of that item happening, it happens even against your intention. So that is something that is permissible to do, as long as it's not a psik reisha, as long as it's not a vade that it's going to happen. But the Mishnah then says, avolo sorek, you're not allowed to go and comb it. Now, who does that go in accord with? That seems to go in accord with Rav Yehuda, Asan the Rabbanan. Rav Yehuda's opinion is called the Rabbanan's opinion that a dover she'eino miskaven is chayiv. So we seem to have a steer in the Mishnah. In an unnamed Mishnah, without giving attribution, we assume it's the same Shita. But the first part seems to be Rabbi Shimon, and the second part seems to be the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda. So how can that be? So Gemara says, Reisha Rabbi Shimon, v'sefer Rabbanan. That goes against our rule that an unattributed Mishnah is usually one opinion. So Gemara says, no, it's all Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabba, Rabba explains, no, kula Rabbi Shimon. In fact, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, who holds a dover she'eino miskaven is mutter. Why is the sorek, is the combing, however, not allowed? Because that's a psik reisha. Kol hasorek lohaser nimin midul dolos miskaven. So there's two ways to understand it. I explained it the easier way, which is to say that it's a psik reisha. When you go and comb your hair with a comb, it's definitely going to pull out hairs, and therefore, even though it's a dover she'eino miskaven, it's going to pull out the hairs, and therefore it is forbidden, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Another way to understand this is that this type of combing is going to be with the intention. It's not a dover she'eino miskaven. You're only combing it with the purpose of removing these tangles and removing the loose hairs. So it's not a davar she'en miskaven, and certainly Rabbi Shimon also agrees that if you're mechaven to go and pull out the hair, a nazir is not allowed to do that. So either of these two ways can explain our Mishnah as all being in accord with Rabbi Shimon, and it's not a machlokas between the first part being Rabbi Shimon and the second part being Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim. Now go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel teaches us that lo yachov bi'adama, a person is not allowed to go shampoo his hair with adama, a certain type of dirt. Why? Mipnei shemasheres esaseya, because it will intentionally go and remove some of the hair. Either, again, it's a psik reisha, or it has the intention that that's why you're doing it, to go and remove the hair. So either it's a davar she'eno miskabe, but it's a psik reisha, or your intention is to go and remove the hair. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel says, you're not allowed to use this adama to go and shampoo your hair. Now, the Gemara questions what exactly was Rabbi Shmuel saying. What was the wording? Now, the wording that we had in the Mishnah, the way we read the Mishnah, was Mipnei Shemasheres, because it will go and pull out the hair. So, Ibarlu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, what exactly was the wording of the Mishnah? Do we say we read it Mipnei Shemasheres Es Haseyor Tnan, the Girsa that we had, that it will pull out the hair, and that's why you can't use it? Or, Odilma, was the Girsa of the Mishnah Mipnei Ha Masheres Tnan, that the Mishnah is really read as because of those types of dirt that do vadai pull out hair, so you can't use any dirt, even dirt that doesn't pull out the hair vadai, you're not allowed to go shampoo with that. That's the question. Did our Mishnah have the girsa Masheres, only the dirt that pulls out the hair you're not allowed to use, but other dirt you're allowed to? Or Mipnei Hamasheres, because there is some dirt that will pull out the hair, so therefore you can't use any dirt, even the dirt that doesn't pull out the hair, because of Gzeira. If we let you use the dirt that doesn't pull out the hair, you may come to use the dirt that does pull out the hair. So I've already given away the answer. The Gemara says, L'mai Nafkamina, what difference does it make whether the gear says Masheres or Hamasheres? So the Gemara gives the answer that I just told you, Kigon Dika Adama Lomasra. For example, there is a type of dirt that doesn't go and pull out the hair. So if you're telling me the girsa of the Mishnah was Masheres, Iyamres Mipnei Shehi Masheres Tanan, that the Mishnah says you're only not allowed to use that type of dirt that pulls out the hair, so then, Hecho Diadinan Delo Misra, if you know for a fact that this dirt doesn't pull out the hair, shop it, it would be permissible to use it. But if the girsa was Hamasheres, El Iyamres Mipnei Hamasheres, because there is some type of dirt that does pull out the hair, so then, Klal Klal lo, then you wouldn't be allowed to use any dirt, because we have to be concerned. We make a gzeira. If we let you use this dirt that doesn't pull out the hair, you may come to use dirt that does pull out the hair. And therefore, when the Mishnah girsa is ha masheres, it means you can't use any dirt at all. Masheres, you just can't use dirt that pulls out the hair, but you could use dirt that doesn't pull out the hair. Ha masheres means you can't use any dirt at all, which is the correct girsa. Take the Gemara says we don't have a resolution. Granted, our Mishnah had it, the Girsa, Shem Masheres, but there were others that had the Girsa, Ha Masheres. So we don't have a clear-cut answer what the proper Girsa of the Mishnah was. Now we teach us a din that we've mentioned a number of times in the past, and we'll see inside a bigger discussion on it in the Gemara. We start the Mishnah off, Nazir Shaya Shosa Yayin Kol Hayom, if a Nazir is drinking wine all day long. Of course, a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, and he's doing a terrible sin. So he's going to get Malkus if he's forewarned. But he drinks one cup, two cups, three cups, four cups, five cups. He keeps on drinking wine. Eino chai velachas. He's only going to get Malkus one time because his original warning is going on each of these subsequent acts. And therefore, even though he's drinking multiple kosos, multiple revises, multiple kizayises, the person will only be chayv once. Nozer shoy shosa yayin kol hayom is only chayv once. Eino chai velachas. However, if they told him, don't drink that wine, okay, amol altishta, and then he forgets about that warning, and then he's about to drink another cup of wine, and he says, hey, altishta, they remind him, don't drink, and then he drinks it again. So in this situation, v'hu shosa, each time that he drinks, chayav kol achas v'achas, each one is a separate warning, because he'd forgotten from the original warning, so this is a new separate act, and therefore, if he does this five times, he's going to be chayav five sets of malchus, one for each drink that he did. In the first case, it was all in the same understanding, so to say. It was all with the same warning, and he just kept on drinking, kept on drinking, kept on drinking. Whereas in the second part of this ratio of the Mishnah, it was each one was a separate action. They told him, don't drink, and then he drank. Then he forgot about it. Then he was going to drink again. They said, hey, don't drink. And he drank again. So then he'll be liable for each drinking that he did. Chayavu kolachas v'yachas. The exact same thing will be in the second part of the Mishnah, the third part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah deals with hair cutting, and the third part of the Mishnah deals with tumas meis. So the second part of the Mishnah says, "Hayom megalech kol hayom." The guy is taking a haircut all day long. Eino chayv alachas. They warned him beforehand, don't take a haircut, and he keeps on cutting his hair, all in the same action, so to say, in the same event. So therefore, he's only going to chayv one set of malchus. However, if they tell him, "Don't take a haircut," amlo al tegalayach, and then he stops. And then they tell him again, hey, he's about to start taking a haircut. Al tigalach, don't take a haircut. And he goes and takes a haircut again. V'umagaleach, in this situation, just like with the drinking of the wine, each action now of giluach is a separate action, and chayav al kol achas v'yachas, and we chayav a separate set of malchus for each time that he took a haircut here. And finally, in the last part of the Mishnah, the same thing. The guy is being mitame to different mesim all day long, but he was warned one time before, and don't be mitame le mesim. So even though he touched mace number one, then he touches mace number two, then he touches mace number three, he's in a morgue and he touches mace one, mace two, mace three, all within the same warning, don't be mitami to mace him. So then, eino chayv alachas, he'll only be chayv one set of malchus. But he touches mace number one, and then he walks away and he forgets about it. Then they tell him, don't touch the mace, and he touches mace number two, he walks away. Then they tell him, hey, don't touch mace number three, and he touches mace number three. Or, well, al tatami, each time they tell him, don't be mitami, it's a new action, boom mitami, and each time he's mitami now, so then, just like in parts one and two of the Mishnah, in part three as well, chayev ala kol achas v'yachas, he's going to be chayev for each and every time that he became tame, a separate malchus. Okay, so the Mishnah teaches us the same din that applies to both drinking wine, to be Mingaleach, and to be Mitame Lemesim. We turn to Membeis, on Membeis. And the Gemara starts off and asks the following. The Gemara says, Itmar, we'll have a machlokas between Rabba, his understanding of Rafuna, and Rav Yosef, his understanding of Rafuna. So the Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rafuna, Rabba's understanding of Rafuna is as follows. There are two psukim over here in Perek Vav, in Bamidbar that we're going to be discussing. The first pasuk tells us, Al nefesh meis lo yovo. Don't go into an ohel and become tomei, tumas ohel, with a meis, if you're a nazir, or a kohen. And then pasuk Zion tells us, Li'aviv u'limo li'achiv u'li'achoso lo yitamo lohem b'mosom. You're not allowed to become tomei to them. So pasuk Vav tells us the din of tumas ohel, and pasuk Zion tells us the regular din of becoming tamei. It's forbidden for a nazir or a kohen to become tamei. Now, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Rabba tells us that this is Rav Huna's understanding. Mikra male dibra kasov. We have a full pasuk over here that tells us lo yitama. That is pasuk Zion, where it says lo aviv ulimo liochiv ulachoso. Lo yitama lohem bimosam. So they're not allowed to become tamei. The nazir or the kohen aren't allowed to become tamei. And pasuk vav, the preceding pasuk, why did it have to tell us kishu omer al nefesh meis lo yavo? Why did it tell us kishu omer lo yavo? So that comes to add on lahasiro al hatuma and lahasiro al habia. Each of these psukim is warning us about a different thing. Pasuk vav is telling us don't become tamei tumas ohel. Entering bia into an ohel that has a mace in it, so through tumas ohel being under the same roof, so that would be metameyu. And pasuk zayin tells us that you're not allowed to become tamei lasir ala tuma. So there's two separate things over here: the regular tuma and then tumas ohel. So Rabba says that Rav Huna is teaching us from these psukim that you can add on tumas ohel to regular tuma. However, avol tuma v'tuma lo. But to become more tamei through regular contact maga with a mace, so you can't become more tamei. Once you were tamei once, so that's it, you're tamei. You can't, so to say, add on to it by coming into contact with another mace. But if you were tamei through maga and then you became tamei through ohel, that does add on to it. That is what Rabba says Rav Huna holds. We'll see that this isn't going to be the ultimate opinion that Rabba says of Rav Huna, but for right now, that's Rabba's understanding of Rav Huna, that you could become tamei with regular tumah, and then subsequently, you can add on to it with tumas ohel, albeit you cannot add on to it with regular tumah. That's Rabba's understanding right now of Rav Huna. On the other hand, Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef says, this is the understanding of Rav Huna. Elokim, he makes the lashon of a shvua, by God. That's not what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, "Am Rav Huna, afilu tuma v'tuma. You could have contact with mace number one, and then have contact with mace number two, not via ohel, and it would add on to it. Why? Because the Am Rav Huna taught us, Nazir shaya omei b'beis ha'kvaros. Rav Huna said, if you have a Nazir that's inside a cemetery, he's in a beis ha'kvaros, and then they touch to him another mace, voshita lo meiso, they give him either one of his relatives as a mace, or this vav, u meis acher, the Rosh tells us means o, or he comes into contact with another mace. So he was in the cemetery, that's contact with mace one. And then they put him into contact with mace number two, not via ohel, just by contact, the nagabo, and he touches mace number two after he was in the presence of mace number one, so he's chayved again. Now, if Rav Yosef says, if Rabba is right, am I? Why would he be chayev a second time according to you? According to you, he was already tamei. So how could he become tamei again? Oh, my understanding, Rav Huna, is correct, that Rav Huna holds, Rav Huna afilu tuma v'tuma, even coming into contact with mace number one, and not via ol, just coming into contact with mace number two, will add on to the tuma, and therefore you'd be chayev a second time. So this is a fundamental difference as to what Rav Huna holds. Again, Rabba, at first blush over here, is telling us that you can only add on if it's tumas ohel, but you can't add on if it's tuma v'tuma. And Rav Yosef says, no, halokim, he makes a lashon shvua, that Rav Huna's opinion is, not only with ohel, but even tuma and tuma can be metame. The Gemara questions Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, Esvi Abaye, Abaye questions Rav Yosef's understanding that it's tuma v'tuma. And he brings down, Kohen shayalo meis munachak sefo. We have a brayse that it says if a Kohen has a mace on his shoulders, so he's carrying a mace. Voshitu lo meiso, and then they give him another mace to touch. Again, the vav here now means u, means or he comes into contact with umeis acher v'nagabo. So he's holding a mace on his shoulder, and then he comes into contact with another mace. So what does this brayse say? Yocho yechayev. I might have thought he should be chayev. Talmud Lomar. Now the Girsa in the Brai says v'lo yichalel, but the Rosh says the pasuk should be lo yitama bal biamov lehechalo. It shouldn't be v'lo yichalel, but this is the pasuk talking about lehechalo, that you shouldn't become tomei. Therefore, it teaches us over here b'mi she'eino mechulo, somebody who's not tomei has a prohibition against becoming tomei, but but the person holding on to the mace on his ksefo, who is already tame, he's already mechulol va'omet, and he's standing there, cannot be any further more tame. So this braisa certainly supports Rabba and is a kasha on Rav Yosef. Rabba holds tumah v'tumah lo, and Rav Yosef says tumah v'tumah yes, but this braisa, Abaye says, is a kasha on Rav Yosef. So what does Rav Yosef do with this braisa? So Gemara says, Amalei, Rav Yosef would say back to Abaye, he says, V'tikshe loch masnisen. Wait a second, you think everything is fine according to you? Our Mishnah clearly states, the guy was Tame, and then he came into contact with another Tame, Tuma, and then another Tuma, and if he was warned before each one, so he's chayiv three times. So Dithnam, we learned in our Mishnah, Hayim Matame l'meisim kol hayom. If he was Matame to meisim all day long, so then he's eno chayiv l'achas. Without separate warnings for each time, it's only chayiv once. But Armelo al tatame, then chayiv kol achas yachas. Now, here, clearly, he was still Tame. So you're adding Tuma l'tuma. But according to you, Abaye, v'amai, ha-matame v'koyim, he was already Tame. So how can he get more Tame? So clearly from our Mishnah, we do see Tumah V'Tumah. So Rabbi Yosef says that the Mishnah is a raya to me, and the Braisa seems to be a raya to Rabbah. So we have a problem over here. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, I'll show you that it's not a problem. Ella, what are you going to say? Ella Kasha Adadi. So the Braisa and the Mishnah argue with each other? No, Rabbi Yosef says, they all go like me. Lo Kasha. It's not a problem. Because the Braisa, which says that you can only become tummy if you're not already tummy. If you're not, maybe she'eno mechulol. So that's talking about bechiburin, that one person is holding on to the other person who's actually touching the mace. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is touching Shimon, and Shimon is holding on to the mace. In that situation, Reuven would become fully tummy. That's called chiburin. But if they're not in chiburin, Reuven touches Shimon when Shimon is no longer touching the mace, so then there isn't this chiburin, yes, Shimon can be metame Reuven, but only for one day, not for 7 days. So here, the answer that Rav Yosef will give is as follows. Lo kasha. Kan b'chiburin, the Brais is referring to a situation where the person was still in contact with the tumma, and that's why he can't get more tumma on him. But kan shelo b'chiburin, but our Mishnah is talking about he no longer was in contact with mace number one, and therefore, when he touches mace number two, he can become more tummy. So therefore, there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and therefore Rav Yosef can tell us that only in the situation of chiburin would you not have tumma b'tumma. But where it's not b'chiburin, you can have tumma following tumma. So therefore, there's no kasher, Rav Yosef says, on his understanding of Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that implies that tumma b'chiburin is d'oraisa. This is a din d'oraisa, that if Reuven is touching Shimon while Shimon is touching the mace, that Reuven is tummy for 7 days on a d'oraisa level? Is that really true? The tumma b'chiburin d'oraisa? That can't be, because I'll show you that it doesn't apply across the board. And if it was a din d'oraisa, it would apply across the board. Because Ha'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yanai, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said the name of Rav Yanai, and we'll call this Rav Yanai Shita, Lo Amru Tumma B'chiburin, this din of Tumma B'chiburin, it was only said that you'd be tummy for 7 days. If Reuven touches Shimon while Shimon is touching the mace, Reuven is tummy for 7 days. That's only in regards to certain dinim, only in regards to eating truma or kachim, only ella l'truma v'kachim. Now, it's not across the board. Avol l'nazir. If Reuven is a nazir, we don't say that Reuven now has to go and bring the karbanos taglachas tumah because he became tummy on a deraisa level with tumas mace. He never touched the mace. He only touched Shimon, who touched the mace. So the nazir does not, in this situation, bring his karbanos taglachas tumah because that would be basically bringing chulin biazara because he's not mechuyev to do so on a deraisa level. This din of 7 days is only on a derabanan level. And that same din is for Osa Pesach. If the person was on Yudalid coming into contact, Reuven comes into contact with Shimon, who's touching the mace on Erev Pesach, so he can go to the mikvah, he's only tummy for 1 day, and that night he can eat the Karban Pesach. So we see that when it comes to a Nazir, who would then, if we're saying it's 7 days, we'd have to bring Karbanos, and that would be a problem of bringing Chulim B'Azara. And when you're dealing with the Karban Pesach, you can't bring it, Sechiyav of Kares, if a person intentionally doesn't bring the Karban Pesach. So then we don't say you're Tomei for 7 days. The basic din, D'Arais, is you only Tomei 1 day. And it's only a din D'Rabbanon that we said for Truman Kachim. No, we'll be Machmir by Truman Kachim for 7 days, but it's only me D'Rabbanon. So how can you tell me this Tumma B'Chiburin is a din D'Arais? The Gemara finishes off and says, the Amr is Daraisa, because if it is a din Daraisa, Maishna, how come Truma and Kachim is 7 days, and Nazir and also Pesach is only 1 day? So the Gemara says, oh, no, you have to say it a little bit differently. The din of Chiburin is as follows. When it's a real din of Reuven touching Shimon, who's touching the mace, that's a din Daraisa of Chiburin, and Reuven is Tomei 7 days mid Daraisa. That is called kan b'chiburei adam b'mace. That's when Reuven touches Shimon, who's touching the mace, so then that is a real din d'araisa of 7 days tumah. But if you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, so you have Shimon touching the mace, Reuven touches Shimon, and now Levi touches Reuven, so that's not a din d'araisa that Levi will become tumah. That's only a din d'rabbanon that in regards to Kachim and Truma, he'll be Tomei for 7 days. But the Din Daraisa is in that situation that he's only going to be Tomei for 1 day. So here, the Gemara answers, Kam b'chiburi Adam b'Adam. If you have a third person involved over here, there's a Levi. So Levi is touching Reuven. Reuven is touching Shimon. While Shimon is touching the mace, so then, yes, Reuven is Tomei for 7 days, but Levi on a Daraisa level is only Tomei for 1 day. Midrabanan, he's going to be Tomei for 7 days in regards to Truman Kachim. And that's what it means. Kam b'chiburi adam b'mace. When you have Rav Yosef telling us that this din of Tumah b'chiburim is daraisa, it's just with Reuven and Shimon, not with a third party. That, everybody agrees, is a din daraisa. Okay, so we've solved that part of the problem, but now what we've come and concluded, according to Rabba, was that Rabba only holds that Tumas Ohel can be added on to regular Tumah, Avol Tumah V'Tumah Lo. According to Rabbah, his first understanding, Rav Huna, we said at first blush, he was saying only in regards to Tumas Oel does it add on to regular Tumah, but Tumah would not add on to regular Tumah. Baha, in this situation, Mitame Vikoim, because here the guy was already Tame, and therefore you can't add on regular Tumah to his already Tame state. So Mar says, how is that any different with Tumas Oel? Tumah ubi anami. When you have the guy Tame, and then he goes into an Ohel, so then Hamitame v'koy. How is that any different? Why is Tumah v'tumah different than Tumah v'ohel? And Taka, that's right. So the Gemara says Rabbah's original understanding of Rav Huna cannot be correct. Ella what? Amar Rav Yochanan tells us that Rabbah's understanding of Rav Huna is not talking about first he was Tameh and then he subsequently became Tameh Tumas Ohel. No, that would be Mitame v'koy. No different than Tumah v'tumah, no. So Tumah, then followed by Ohel, in a subsequent action, would also, he's already Tumah, so he can't add on to it. So where does Rabbah say that you can have Ohel adding on? It's when they occur simultaneously. Amar Rav Yochanan, kan bibayis, kan bisodeh. What does this mean? When you're in a house, so then the person is becoming Tumah, the Tumah, at the same time that he's becoming Tameh, through Tumas Ohel. They're both occurring simultaneously. And not that he was already Tameh, but he's becoming Tameh via Tumas Ohel. So he's over the lav of becoming Tameh and over the lav of Ohel at the same time. And that's why he gets two separate sets of Malkus. But if it was one after the other, you're 100% right. When we're out in the field, where there is no Tumas Ohel, so he first had to become Tameh with touching it, and then he becomes Tameh, touching it again. He's already Tameh, so the Tumah is there, and therefore, in this situation, we say, Mitameh v'koyim. So therefore, there is no second Tumah, there is no second set of Malkus. So that's how Rabbah has to understand Rav Huna, that it's not talking about that they occurred one after the other, but they occurred both bevas achas at the same time. So Mar says, bebayis nami, but even in the house, how can you tell me that they both occurred at the same time? Kiven do oil yode, the minute he sticks his hand to go into the house, so is tight. He becomes tummy. Not only his hand, but his whole body becomes tummy. So then when he goes, his whole body inside, kiyal kulehai, tummy you. He's already tummy. So how can the Tumas Ohel add on to his already pre-existing Tumah? So how can you tell me it's Bavas Achas? There it's also in sequence. First his hand became tummy, which was Matami, his whole body, and then he had Tumas Ohel, so how can it exist? How can the Tumas Ohel add on to the already existing Tumah? So he says, no, you know what? El Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar would tell us, Tseiref Yado. You know what? He put his hand out to go into the house. So in that situation, Mishum Tumah Ika, however, Mishum Bia Leka. So he's only Tumah at that point with his hand, but not yet Tumas Ohel. Vitseiref Gufo, that would be if his hand went in first. But what happens if he put his whole body in first at the same time? So now, not that his hand went in there first, but his whole body went in there first. So now, Tumah Ubiya B'Hadi Hadadi Kasu. So the case, Rabbi Elazar says, is not that he stuck his hand in and then his body, but he put his body in, his hands were by his side. So his whole body goes in at the same time. So the Tumah and the Tumas Ohel occur simultaneously. That must be the case, Rabbi Elazar says. Where says it's impossible. Yes, he's going in, so his hands are at his sides, but his nose goes in first. The minute his nose goes in, he's Tame. But his whole body hasn't yet been inside the Ohel, so the Tumas Ohel hasn't started yet. So they're not occurring simultaneously, they're occurring one after the other. So you still have the same problem, they're not occurring simultaneously. The minute his nose goes inside, so then he's Tame, and then you can't have the Tumas Ohel occurring when his whole body goes inside. So Mar says, you're right. Elama Rava, Rav explains, you know what happened? Hich nis yado, if he put in his hand first, you're right. Mishum Tume Ika, Mishum Bia Leka. Then that would be the problem. He would become Tame without having the Bia, without having the Tumas Ohel. But you know what happened over here? Hich nis gufo, he puts his whole body in, and he leans back in a way that his nose doesn't go in first. That's the way the Rush and the Tosis understand this. So then, Tumo Bia B'Hadi Adoli Ka'asyan. So by making sure that his nose doesn't go in first, he leans his head back. So his whole body goes in, and he becomes Tameh all at once. The same time he becomes Tameh, he has Tumas Ohel, and therefore they're occurring simultaneously. Or it says also impossible. It's impossible that his toe doesn't enter first. So yeah, he keeps his nose back and he tilts his head in such a way that his head goes in all at once, but his toe goes in first. So therefore, he's still going to have a problem that part of his body went inside, so he becomes tameh. And then only afterwards does he have tumas oel, so they're not occurring simultaneously. They're one after the other. And we already showed that if he's tameh, you can't have additional tumah add on to him. So we're stuck. So Gemara now is going to give us two final terutzim for today. El Omer Rapapa. Rapapa says, you know what the din is? Kigon shenichnas mishida tevo migdal. He entered into this house that has the mace inside of it in some sort of a contraption. The famous shida teva umigdal that we've discussed many times. These are various types of enclosures, chests, or closets that prevent him from becoming tameh. And then, once he's already inside the house, so he's not tameh, and he doesn't have tumas ohel, somebody comes along, some friend, so to say, comes along, upara alavas maziva, and he goes and removes the floor of this chest, and he falls out, so to say, and now the tumma and the tumas ohel are occurring at the same time. The tumma ubiya bahade hadode ka'asyan. And this is the example that Rabbah says that Ravuna would hold, that tumma of tumas ohel can simultaneously occur with tumma, and you'll be chayiv two sets of malchus, as opposed to tumma, the tumma can never occur simultaneously. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Marba Ravashi. What does he say? Marba Ravashi Amar kigon da ayil kishu goses. The person, the nazir, goes inside this house when there's nobody dead there yet, but you have a person that's almost dead. A goses is somebody that's going to die within a short period of time. There are a number of definitions of a goses based upon his breathing, based upon how long he has to live. It's very difficult to really define a goses in practicality. But basically, a goses is somebody who is going to die. He's about to die. So in this situation, the person went inside there when this goses was still halachically alive. The nafak nishmose ad yosef. And as soon as the Nazir was fully inside the house, only then does the goses die. And only now is the goses metame. So therefore, the tumma ubiya bahadeh hadodeh ka'asyon. In this situation, the tumma, as well as the ohel, the tumma soel, the biya, occur simultaneously. And that's how Rabbah explains Rafuna, saying that tumma and tumas ohel, you can be chayiv two malkuses, whereas for tumma and tumma, you can never be chayiv two malkus. It only can be chayiv one time. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. We'll continue in the sugya in Yetzer Hashem tomorrow, where we pick up with the new Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan. Thank you for listening. With this, we conclude today's share.